I appreciate the good reading from John chapter 8, which has served as a basis for our lesson. When the Lord said in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I'm capitalizing on two words in that passage. When the Lord said, "Be free." One of the fitness centers has as its mantra, "Be free." It presents itself as a place where you can be free from bullying, free from criticism, free from intimidation, free from judgment. It's the judgment-free zone. I'm here today to appeal to you to be free spiritually. Freedom's available, and it's made possible through the truth. In that reading in John 8, the Lord said in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The psalmist in Psalm 119, when he talked about the word of the Lord, said in verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty." To walk at liberty is to be free. How's that possible? "For I seek thy precepts." God's precepts are his word. James in chapter 1 and verse 25, when he appealed to those to whom he was writing to be a doing people, spoke of the perfect law of liberty. And so if we're going to be free, we're going to have to know and do what the Lord says. And what I'd like for us to do in our brief study this morning is call attention to some things that we can be free from through the Lord's word, through the truth. First, we can be free from sin. Sin is a real problem. It entered the world in the Garden of Eden when God said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." Genesis 2:16-17. The serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. She took of the forbidden fruit, ate, and thus sin entered the world. Sin brought some terrible consequences. In Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." That's eternal separation from God Almighty. To avoid that, we've got to be free from sin. Now, I want to know how that works. Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. In verse 18, Paul is giving thanks to God for these folks in Rome, saying, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Paul, we have a question for you today. How were these folks made free from sin? Back up to verse 17. He said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Now, notice at one time they were servants of sin. Sin enslaves and entraps. In John 8 and in verse 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And so how are you made free from sin? How are these folks in Rome made free from sin? One doesn't have to look any farther than the epistle of Paul to the Romans to learn how you're made free from sin. What'd they do? In Romans 10, Paul, in verses 14 through 17, talked about how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard. And so you have to hear and believe the gospel like these people did. Now, some people would stop there. They think that to be made free from sin, that's all you got to do. Just hear and believe, and at the point at which you believe, you're saved. You're made free from your sin. The Bible doesn't stop there. In fact, James said that's not right. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James 2:24. Some other things were necessary for them to be free from sin. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul asked, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to," what's that next word? Repentance. Is repentance necessary? Absolutely. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. And at Athens, Paul preached that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. So to be free from sin, you hear, believe, and repent. Anything else involved? Back to Romans 10. Where in verse 10, Paul said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so confession must be made. As Jesus promised in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Anything else involved? Romans 6, in verses 3 and 4. Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death." And so baptism was required. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. And Peter recorded in 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." And so in that context of Romans 6, when it talks about being baptized into Jesus Christ, he said in verse 17, "Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." That form of doctrine goes back to the fact that they were baptized into his death in Romans 6, 3 and 4. And he says in verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Would you like to be free? You can be. Who wants to be enslaved, entrapped in bondage and sin when you can be free from sin? As you hear and believe the gospel, repent of your sins, make confession of your faith in the Son of God, and are baptized into Jesus Christ, you can be free. I'll tell you something else you can be free from. Number two. Through the truth, you can be free from shame. Are you ever ashamed? I expect all of us could list some things that we're ashamed of, right? Things that we've said or done or failed to say and do or thought that were just shameful. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18, wise Solomon said, "Shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." And so when I refuse instruction that comes from this book, it brings shame. Shame came to Adam and Eve when they refused God's instruction, which we noted earlier. So how do you know they were ashamed? In Genesis 3, when in verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why'd they make those aprons? Why'd they try to hide themselves? Because they were ashamed. You see, they were without proper clothing, and they knew it. Because they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Romans 6, when Paul talks about being made free from sin, he talked about those things of which you're ashamed. Look at Romans 6, beginning in verse 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You see, when you live your life in sin, you're living your life in those things that bring shame. Adam and Eve learned, and you and I do as well, that sin brings shame, and you can't hide from the Lord. God is always watching. But through the truth, being made free from sin, you can be free from your shame. You don't have anything to be ashamed of, you see. You don't have any reason to try to hide something or concerned about something might be found out because you don't have anything to hide, you see. When you direct your ways to keep God's commandments, you won't be ashamed. Just like the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Why are you interested in directing your ways to keep God's statutes? "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Sometimes we're ashamed because we haven't been keeping God's commandments. Our ways haven't been directed to keep His statutes. Writing the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." Wouldn't it be great if we could all say that today? "But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death." And so when folks look at us and they see Christ living in us, we're magnifying and exalting the Lord. We don't have anything to be ashamed of, do we? So you can be free from shame today through the truth as you direct your ways to hear, to believe, and obey the truth. Notice the words of John in 1 John 2 and verse 28. He said, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You see, when you have the proper relationship with the Lord, you're abiding in Him, as He said in John chapter 15. When He comes, you won't have any reason to be ashamed. In fact, you can have confidence. So let me ask you, don't answer out loud, we'll just think within our own minds. When He comes, how am I going to be found? Am I going to be ashamed? Or am I going to have some confidence about me? Through the truth, you can be free from shame. Not a very pleasant way to live. We appeal to you to be free. Something else you can be free from through the truth. You can be free from fear. You ever afraid? Sin brings fear. You see, fear was felt when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. In Genesis 3 and verse 9, the Lord called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." No indication fear had been felt before that. You see, it was a fearful thing for the man to hear God's voice when they disobeyed God. I expect a child could relate to that in the parent-child relationship. That when you've done something you know you shouldn't have done, and you hear your parents' voice, you may be afraid because you know punishment's coming. Right? And so sin brings shame and it brings fear. And that's not a very pleasant way to live your life in fear, to be afraid. In fact, a number of times the word of the Lord says, "Be not afraid and fear not." When we are living according to the Lord's word, we really have nothing to fear. In fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, talked about how that Christ has delivered us from fear. saying, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We don't even have to be afraid of death. You see, when we're what we ought to be, through the Lord's word, we can say like the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23 and verse 4. And Jesus sent out his disciples with the motivation to be fearless. He said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to destroy the soul." In Matthew 10 and in verse 28. Fear. You remember the one talent man? When the day of accountability came and he said, as he offered a reason for burying his talent, "I was afraid." You see, fear has a paralyzing effect upon us. It'll immobilize us. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, that God has not given unto us the spirit of fear. If I am a fearful person in that respect, I may need to ask myself, what's causing me fear? What is it that's bringing me fear when my ways are directed to the Lord's word? Because through his word, I can be free from fear. Something else we can be free from. We can be free from condemnation. Who wants to be condemned? Put yourself before a judge. When the gavel comes down, will it be guilty or innocent? In John chapter 5 and verse 24, the great judge says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see, at the judgment, the verdict will either be life or death, heaven or hell. And we can be free from the death sentence. Where is that? It's in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation. And so those who are in Christ, who are walking after the Spirit, they're going to be exempt from the punishment sentence. They're not going to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Sentence with everlasting punishment is depicted in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But they're going to hear the welcome words, "Come thou, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, rewarded with eternal life." And so, in Christ, through his word, we can be free from condemnation. What a blessing that is. Something else we can be free from, number 5. We can be free from doubt. You ever doubt? You ever question what you think and believe? Doubt is uncertainty. It's a lack of confidence. And it doesn't have to take very long to see how confident people are about what they are religiously. Some people don't want to talk about religion because they don't have confidence. They're not sure about what they believe. You might ask a fella or a lady sometime about what they are religiously, why they believe what they do, and you can tell whether they're certain or not about it, if they have some doubt. But you know, we don't have to live our lives in doubt. Who wants to be in doubt and wonder, is this right? Am I saved? Do I have hope of heaven? Did you know that as Joshua 23:13 says, we can know for a certainty? Makes a good lesson, doesn't it, Jason? Know for a certainty. There are things we can know for a certainty. Luke wrote in Luke 1 and verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Maybe we don't know. We're not certain because we haven't read. We haven't studied. We haven't applied ourselves. But when you give yourself to a study of the Lord's Word, you can know with certainty. You can be assured that what you're doing is right. You don't have to doubt. John declared in 1 John 5 and verse 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'm not left in the dark. I don't have to guess about it. But John wrote that letter, 1 John, with the intent that ye may know that you have eternal life. And within its pages, there are a number of conditions I learned that when I meet those, like if you love the brethren, if you confess your sins, if you walk in the light, when I do those things, I can know that I have eternal life. I have the hope and the promise of it. And so I don't have to live in doubt like a lot of people. I'm free from doubt through the Lord's Word. And as Paul said, we can have confidence. We ought to be a confident people. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul writing the Ephesian saints penned these words. In whom, that is in Christ, we have boldness and access with what? Confidence by the faith of Him. We have what, Paul? Confidence. Ephesians 3:12. And then writing the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me ask you, where are you looking today? Do you look at the things which are seen or the things which are not seen? He said in chapter 4 and verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And listen to these words of confidence. He said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, in this what? In this tabernacle, in this body we groan. Have you groaned today? You do a little more of that, the older you get, don't you? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. There are things that burden us. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. In verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of it. What is it that motivates us to labor? Because we have confidence. We have confidence through the Lord's Word. We know that even if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have something far better. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And no man can take that away from us. And so come what may. Right? That's like Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, you can live your life without doubt. You can be free from doubt through the Lord's Word. You can know for a certainty. And you can have confidence. Something else we can be free from. This will be the last one we talk about today. We can be free from worry. Would you like to have a worry-free life? Somebody said, sign me up. I'm a worry wart. No need to have a strong feeling of anxiety. You don't have to do that. Sometimes we are troubled and anxious and worrisome because of sin. Something's not right. We know it. It's like the psalmist said in Psalm 38, verse 3 beginning, there is no soundness in my flesh, neither is there any rest in my bones. Why'd he say that? Because of my sin. You know, when we realize what sin is and what it does and that we're guilty of it, we'll not have any rest either till we are free from it. He said in verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head. You see, sin will get you in too deep. Next thing you know, you're over your head. He said, as an heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. And so you need somebody to bear them. We sing, he bore it all. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. See the context? He's talking about his foolishness, his iniquity, his sin, all the same thing. And then in verse 6, he said, I am troubled. I'm troubled. Sin brings trouble. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. You like to live that way? You don't have to. You can be free from that. When you live as the Bible teaches, you direct your way to the Lord's Word, you can be free from worry. You don't have to have a troubled heart. In fact, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord had some words to those that were worrying. And basically he says, don't worry. It'll all be okay. The Lord will take care of you. Matthew 6, 25, he said, take no thought for your life. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't fret. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. And in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we sing, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. And when I live life with that perspective, I can be free. But I've got to have the right perspective, the right outlook. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so I've got to learn to realize this is more than I can handle. But with God, all things are possible. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. And so I'm going to cast all my care upon him, knowing he cares for me, and trust him with the results. Worry less, pray more. Oh, what needless pain we bear, peace we often forfeit, because we don't take things to him in prayer. You can be free from worry. In fact, the Lord's Word brings rest to troubled hearts. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And so think about the day of the Lord. He's going to take vengeance. It's going to be a day of tragedy, but it's going to be a day of triumph for those of us who believe, you see. And so, if you're troubled, rest. In chapter 2, in verse 2, he said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And Peter wrote some words that ought to bring rest to troubled hearts. In 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 13, he said, who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And so you can be free from worry, from doubt, from condemnation, from fear, from shame, from sin in Christ through His Word. Remember that good reading from John 8? The Lord said, "If you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And so how do I know if I'm free or not? Am I continuing in His Word? That's the key. Because freedom and liberty is connected with the Lord's Word. And so we need to learn it. We need to believe it. And we need to always be doing it. We're going to sing a song to invite you to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Softly and tenderly, He's calling. Won't you come, believing on Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Him, and being baptized? If you become unfaithful, to say, "I have sinned," pray to the Lord for me. While we stand and sing the song, we cordially invite you to come.